Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. That's exactly right. All right, let's get our Bibles out this morning. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, let's stand. Honor the reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm 119. We're going to look at seven different verses in Psalm 119. And they all have a theme. Seven times you see this word show up in Psalm 119 or a variation of that word. We'll begin with Psalm 119 and verse number 50. Psalm 119, verse number 50. The Bible says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for the word hath quickened me." Verse number 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Verse number 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Verse number 75. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." Verse number 92. "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Verse number 107. "I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word." And verse number 153. "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law." With God's help this morning, I want to preach on this subject, the blessing of affliction. Brother Richard Burr, would you pray for the message?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Hey. Yes. Please. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. You might be wondering this morning that how in the world can a fella find a blessing while suffering affliction? But he can. And he should. Now, before I get on into this, I want to give you a couple of definitions so that you know exactly what I'm referring to this morning and what the psalmist is talking about when he talks about affliction. The word afflict means to cast down, to trouble, to injure, to distress severely so as to cause continued suffering. Means to humble. The word affliction means the cause of continued pain or distress. Great suffering. That's the definition of this word that we're going to be looking at this morning. Now I've heard it said this. I've heard it said that the job of a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And I spend a lot of time around here trying to afflict the comfortable. You know that, so amen. I heard some amens back there. So what I want to do this morning is I want to try to bring some comfort to the afflicted. Amen? And you may be here this morning and you're afflicted. You're in some type of affliction. And I want you to know that God is the one afflicting you, or at least at the very least, listen to me now, don't lose me in introduction. He's allowing this affliction. He's directly doing it. Or at the very least, he's allowing it. You got to get a hold of that this morning if you want to get some help. You need to get that the right perspective, and the right perspective is the biblical perspective on affliction. Now, I want you to notice these verses we just read. Seven times, I don't think it's by no coincidence that it's seven times. Seven times in Psalm 119, this word shows up. Now, as most of you know, Psalm 119 Psalm 119 is not only the longest chapter in the book of Psalms, the longest chapter in the Bible. And you know, Psalm 119 has a theme. It's the Word of God. That's all it's about. You'll see the word statutes and testimonies and law. All those words show up. It's about the Word of God. That's what Psalm 119 is about. So you know what I believe? I believe that there is a connection between the Bible and having a proper understanding of affliction. You cannot understand affliction. You cannot understand the significance of it and how God wants you to respond to it and what it can possibly do in your life if you don't understand what the Bible says about it. Not what Dr. Smellfungus or Dr. Phil or any other secular psychologist may say about it. What does the Bible say about affliction? That's when you can get some real comfort. That's when you can get some real help. Now, you may be here this morning with this many people here. There's no telling what you're suffering. Some of you, I know what you're suffering. And some of you, I don't. Some of you here this morning, you're in physical pain. You may be suffering from grief. I know there's some grief in this sanctuary here this morning. Sickness. Maybe suffering persecution. We don't get that much over here in America, but there may be somebody at your job or somebody bothering you. Maybe financial problems. I know a lot of people's feeling the crunch right now. Maybe marital problems. Your marriage is just about that close to being over this morning. Maybe it's some sin-sick child. I don't know what it is, but you're afflicted this morning. You're suffering affliction. I just want to tell you this. Your affliction is going to turn out to be a great blessing when responded to properly. And I believe that when you look at these seven verses, and we'll just go over them very quickly. This, you know, I don't preach long, but I want you to stay with me through all seven of them now. You get all you need to know right here in one chapter of the Bible about affliction. Let's cover those this morning. I want you to see the blessing in your affliction. Hey, I'm making it personal this morning. I'm pointing at you. They taught me in Bible college that's not proper etiquette to do that, to point at somebody and all that. I don't really give a rip. I'm preaching to you this morning, okay? I don't want you to say, oh, it's afflictions are a blessing to people. I want you to say affliction is a blessing to me. I want you to personally apply it to your life this morning. Here we go. Let's go back to verse number 50 and we'll work our way through there. We'll just go in chronological order and look and see what these verses say this morning. Verse number 50, first of all, it says this. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The first thing I want you to notice is that comfort can be found in the word of God when one is afflicted. That's what he said. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction. You're not going to get any greater comfort in your affliction than the Word of God. The Word of God has promises for you. You need to get a hold of. Just a few, like Romans 8:28. He's promised to work all things out for the good, according to His purpose, for those that love Him. Romans 8:38 and 39. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Hebrews 13:5. He has said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's important to know when you're afflicted. I recommend, listen, are you here this morning and you're suffering in some kind of way and maybe you're depressed, maybe you're down? I encourage you to go read the book of Psalms. There's no greater encouragement than getting in that book and reading the book of Psalms to encourage you and comfort you when you're in affliction. Notice what he said there. He said, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. You know what the word quicken means? It means to make alive. You may be spiritually and emotionally about dead because of what you're going through. And you need something to give you some life. That King James Bible will give you some life if you'll get in it. The comfort comes from God. I've had times in my life where nobody could say anything and nobody could help me. I've had times in my life where God put me in situations that there wasn't enough money to pay me out of it. I didn't know nobody that could get me out of it. I mean, I was a sunk ship, brother. I mean, it was all over if God didn't do something. And in those dark days of my life and those times of grief and despair and problems in my life, I had one thing to turn to that was sure, that could encourage, that could strengthen, that I could say, I can bet it all on that. It's going to happen. That's this book. You know what some of you try to do? You try to come up with plan A and plan B and talk to this fellow over here and this one over here and see what this psychologist says over here and go check this fellow. Listen, you got to get in the book. That's where you're going to get your comfort from when you're going through something. If you're here today and you're tore up about something, something's on you, something's bothering you, you need to be in your Bible now more than ever. I'm telling you, you do. And God will comfort you. He'll give you a verse to help you. He'll give you a passage to help you. You may feel dead and dried up inside. Maybe you feel like you're not alive. I'm telling you, you need to go to a living book. A living book will give you some life. That's what you need to do. Number two, go to verse 67. This is a good verse here. Psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Next thing you find out is that affliction can bring repentance and obedience. I want you to notice what he said there. He said, before I was afflicted. You know, a lot of times we tend to do wrong until we experience some consequences for it. And it's unfortunate that it's this way, but many times you have to experience the afflictions given by God in order to get right. And God, listen, God will allow you to suffer from what you've done and to reap what you sow and to go through some things. You make bad choices. You live in sin. You don't do right. I'm telling you, God's going to put some affliction in your life so that you'll get your heart back right with Him. A lot of times people ain't going to find repentance until they hit rock bottom. And they run into a brick wall and they see where their sin and their sinful, wicked choices have brought them to a dead end in their life. And then once they do that, once they're afflicted, once they cry out in pain, whether it's physical pain God allows or spiritual or emotional pain or whatever kind of pain God allows in your life, then they can get right with God. Then they can seek repentance and then they can seek obedience. Notice what he said there in verse number 67. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, after he's afflicted, now have I kept thy word. He's a lot more interested in doing what that book said after he gets some suffering in his life. Reason some of you ain't interested in church, being faithful in church, being faithful in your book, you ain't interested in obeying God. You could care less whether you walk in the Spirit or not. It's because everything's fine with you right now. All your bills are being paid. Ain't nobody sick. You ever think your future sobriety, you got to wear shades and all that. I'm going to tell you something. It's sad that this is going to have to happen. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to some of you out here. I'm preaching to you. I'm trying to help you and warn you this morning. You probably ain't going to take it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Some of you are going to keep fooling around, and one day God's going to say, you know, that's enough. I gotta get that child of mine back on the right track. And he's gonna throw down from heaven a wad of affliction. And you'll be interested in church then. Yeah, you'll get in your Bible. I won't have to keep on at you about getting in your Bible then. You'll be glad to pray and seek God then. Why don't you find them now? Before that has to happen. You know the sad truth of it is, and I'm one of them, I'm preaching against me. Sad truth is, most of us just learn the hard way. I've talked to my wife before, you know, she's my ear of complaint when things in the church ain't going right or whatever. I'll talk to her, I say, man, these people, they won't show up for church. They're not faithful. Why ain't they faithful? Why won't they come to church? And I'm all excited, and my wife's got the calm, knowledgeable voice, thank the Lord. You know what she said to me before riding down the road when I'd be discouraged about it? She said, well, they just don't need church right now. Church is not important to them right now. You know how many times in my ministry where I've seen people where church wasn't important to them right now? God ain't important to you right now. You'd rather sit out in a deer stand. I'm going to tell you, if you keep missing church on Sunday morning to go out in a deer stand, I'm going to pray God to blow your shooting house with you in it. I pray, bless God, your gun will blow up and your motor and your truck will blow up. Amen. I don't give a rip if you like that or not. Now, I can get mean. I'm trying to comfort this morning, but I can get mean too. But your problem is everything's all right now. You don't need church. Now, I'm going to tell you what I've seen over and over in my ministry. Ring, ring. Brother Dennis, can I meet you at your office? Yeah, you can. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to be merciful with you. But I've been seeing this coming for 2 years. You didn't need God for 2 years. You need Him now, though, don't you? You know why? Only way He can get you right, get you interested in spiritual things, is to afflict you. That's sad, ain't it? That's sad, but I'm preaching to everybody in here. And if you're playing around with God and you're not serious with God, and you're not plugged into God and you're saved, I'm telling you what, you just keep on going. You may not need church right now. You may not need the Bible right now. You may not need prayer right now, but there's going to be a day God in heaven knows. I know it. I know it. You're going to need it like you've never needed it before. Affliction can bring repentance and obedience. Number 3, verse number 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Affliction can teach you some things. He said, you know what that psalmist said? He said, it's good. It's good that I have been afflicted. Well, you don't hear many people preaching that. I mean, Joel Osteen ain't going to get up there and go, it's good that we've been afflicted. Because you know every day's Friday. Now, you don't hear that preaching. But the Bible says it's good that I have been afflicted because it taught me some things.
Yeah, amen.
I want to tell you something. The times in my life when I've learned the most was not in times of prosperity. It was in affliction. Do you know that this church right here has been my most profitable ministry I've ever had? I've seen more folks saved. I've enjoyed preaching at this church. I've seen more fruit from this church. I've seen God do more in this church. In this church than any other of the other two churches I pastor. I mean, this is the pinnacle of my ministry so far. I'm just as happy as I can be. May, do you realize in May I'll be here 10 years and I'm still in the honeymoon stage? But you want me to tell you the truth? This ain't the church that taught me anything. This church ain't taught me anything. I ain't had no trouble here. I mean, there's a few people run their mouth and buck up. And all, but I ain't had no trouble here. All I've done is have fruit bearing, fruit bearing, fruit bearing, fruit bearing. It was that church I pastored before I got here. I was there 5.5 years. That church where we buried Darby's mama and daddy. I was hospitalized 2 or 3 times, surgeries. Sick. A deep depression. Deep depression I went in. Church falling apart, not growing, nobody getting saved, nobody sticking around. Hey, that church didn't grow while I was there. They left. And when I got through with that church, I thought, man, I must be the most pitiful pastor in the world. This church didn't grow spiritually. It didn't grow numerically. It was a zero. But I didn't know what kind of character and what kind of work God was doing on old Dennis Knowles. He was working on me. He was teaching me some things that I had to learn in order to be prepared for this ministry. He'll teach you. The psalmist said affliction's good. It can help you learn. Listen, you'll learn what the Bible says about who God is when you're in trouble. That you can trust Him. I'll tell you what it'll teach you. It'll teach you what sin will do to you. That's what affliction will do. It'll teach you how to be patient in suffering. Like that fellow, he said, I'm praying for patience, Lord. Lord, I'm praying for patience and I want it now. You know, if you're not a patient person, if you're an impatient person, that's a sign of carnality.
Amen.
If you're not long-suffering and forbearing, that means, I don't care how much you read your Bible you put in your plate, you've got some spiritual problems if you're not a patient person. Do you know what a person that's impatient is? That's a selfish, prideful, self-centered person. You think the world revolves around you, so if you're put out a little bit, you get mad. Well, let me just tell you something, Mr. On Time, all the time, thinking you're all good because you're there 30 minutes before the thing starts and other people aren't. How many times has God had to wait on your wicked self? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Impatience is a lack of spirituality is what that is. And oh, boy, some of you are looking at me now like I'm mad with the preacher. Well, what's new? No. It'll teach you something about humility. Do you remember that one of the definitions I gave you when we started this message of afflict? It said humble. Do you know what affliction will do to you? Do you know what affliction has done to me? Let me tell you something. When I took that church over, that up there, that one before I got here, son, I walked in there and looked in that new office and walked down that hall and put my books in there and said, yes, sir, man. Bless the Lord. We're going to be supporting 30 missionaries this time next year. And we're going to save about 50 this year. And boy, I'm going to build this thing up. And man, we're going to have to get new parking around here. But they ain't had a preacher in here like me. God said, boy, you so stupid. You don't even know what it's going to be like the next 5.5 years of your life. But when I get finished with you 5.5 years from now, you're going to be something I can work with. It was painful going through. But you know what? I like Dennis Knowles a lot better now than I did then. I think God does too. When I get up in here in this pulpit now, it ain't this, oh, I can do it. Brother, I'm scared to death. I know some of you folks, you don't believe that. You believe the way I get up here and holler and turn red and slap the pulpit. You think I'm confident and sure. Let me tell you something. I quiver sometimes over thinking, God, if you don't do it, if you don't show up, if you don't help me, if you don't speak to me, it's going to be a zero today. I've done been up here before when you weren't with me, and it's always a zero. Always. Affliction can teach you some things. Thank God for that. Let's look at verse 75. Verse 75. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. God's afflictions are just in a minister because he is faithful and a merciful God. The first thing you've got to understand, everybody listen to this, God's not unfair. God's not unfair. He's right. Listen, I'm going to make a statement so you hear all of it. We have earned our afflictions, or we need our afflictions, or sometimes both. You have either earned your afflictions by your disobedience, or maybe you didn't do anything at all, but you need those afflictions to grow, or both. You've earned them and you need them. Either way, God is just in whatever affliction he sends. And when he sends an affliction, he's just in it. God is faithful to bring distress. And then God is faithful to take away that distress when it has produced fruit and practical righteousness in our life. Did you hear what I said? I just read that word for word off my notes because I wanted you to get it. God is faithful to bring distress, that's affliction, and then take away the distress when it has produced fruit and practical righteousness in our lives. And he does it because he's faithful. You know what that is? That's a faithful God to give us heartache and trouble so we'll do right. If the only reason you whip your youngins is because they make you mad, you're nothing but a big old bully. You've got anger problems. There were times growing up I tried to always make it a policy not to whip my son when I was angry. First of all, it makes it a lot harder for you to whip him when you ain't angry. And second of all, you know you're doing it for the right reason. There's been times before when my son, when he was young, he'd make me angry and I'd go in there and say, Darby, you got to whip him. I just want to beat the tar out of him. That's nothing more than a bully. Do you realize that God gets angry and he's an angry God, but he never gets out of control? We do. We get out of control. I heard one preacher say one time, we talked to him about not whipping your kids when you're angry. He said, well, God gets angry. He whips his kids. Oh, what's wrong with me doing it? Yeah, God don't never get out of control. And you do, idiot. Amen. You do, idiot. You get way out of control. You get to beating them because they bothered you rather than trying to produce righteousness in their life. Amen. That's right. I'm telling the truth. This means yes. Amen. So, you know, God is faithful. Listen, God is faithful to send you affliction and to whip you and to take you out behind the woodshed. He's faithful to do that because he's a loving father and he wants what's best for you. Do you understand that some of you, I'm not trying to be ugly this morning. I'm preaching to myself too. But I don't have much tact. I just tell it like it is and I'm sorry about that. But I'm just brutally honest. I'm candid when I preach, okay? Do you realize some of you won't be worth the gunpowder it takes to blow you up if God don't put you through affliction? Because you don't have the character and the love and the commitment for God to do anything for them. All you want to do is just take from God and expect Him to answer your prayers and bail you out of stuff and be good to you and good to your children and good to your family and give. And you don't want to give God a plug nickel in the plate. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. You don't want to be faithful in church. You don't care. You want God in a box not to bother you. Just bring them out whenever you need them. And because God loves us anyway, and He cares about us anyway, even though we're so stinking selfish, He says, all right, I'm a faithful, loving Father. Amen, sister. And I feel the same way. I'm a faithful, loving Father. These children are brats. But they're my brats. And I'm going to send something down to get their attention. And I'm faithful to do it. Let me just say this. I've heard folks say, spanking don't help my child. Spanking don't work on my child. You're full of baloney. Are you calling God a liar? Well, my child's just more stubborn than my child. He just needs more medicine. Are you calling God a liar? I tell you why spanking don't help your child, because you don't do it right. You're lazy. You're not like God. God does it right. God's on top of it every time. You can't come back and flip back in your recliner and let your youngin' argue with you two or three times. And sometimes you whip them and sometimes you don't. And what these crazy, I don't know how I got off on this, but I'm going to preach on this for a few minutes. What these crazy parents do is they'll whip their youngest for tracking dirt in on their carpet or spilling a glass of milk, which is an accident, and then they'll let their children get by with willful rebellion. You tell that youngin' one time to pick up his blocks. If he don't pick up his blocks, get your fat, lazy butt out of recliner, don't yell at him and don't scream at him, and whip his butt till he picks up the blocks, and it will work. Amen, Brother Dennis. That's good preaching, Brother Dennis. Amen. That's right. It'll work every time if you won't be so stinking lazy and get up and do it. Some of you are amen and some of you are mad with me. Don't tell me, oh, my son, I've just whipped him. Listen, you got to do your children. I don't care. I know some of them come in this world more rebellious and more stubborn. You got to do like I used to, which my son, I got to say, he was good. He's been a good son. Sometimes, yeah. No, I used to say to him when he was young, I'd sit down with him. I'd say, son, let me tell you something. I look at him in his eyes. I'd say, I'm going to win and you're going to lose. Now, when this battle's over, it's up to you. I'll whip you all day long. It don't matter to me. But I'm going to win, and you're going to lose. So, ante up, big boy. Let's go. I guarantee you I can hold out to whip you longer than you can hold out to take it. I know human resources. Well, oh, my goodness. Oh, tragedy, the ghastly horror of whipping a youngin' like that. Yeah, how is this non-whipping and time out and put your nose in the corner doing? We got the worst bunch of youngins we ever had. How in the world did I get off on this? But I'm preaching on it anyway. Ain't nothing wrong with running a rabbit as long as you'll get back on the trail in a minute. I'm just talking about God's faithfulness to whip us. And some of you, if you'll do what this Bible says, you got a 5 and 6 year old youngin', you tell that 5 or 6 year old youngin' what you want to do, and if they don't do it, or they say no, or they say uh-uh, the next thing they ought to feel is a rod on that butt. And they ought to have a rod on that butt according to what that book says until they do it. And I don't care how stubborn they are, as the Bible says, foolishness is found in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall what? Drive it far from him. And that ain't according to his personality type. You don't need Ritalin, bless God, you need Red Butt. Over medicating these kids that are going to school like this. I know some kids have more of a problem sitting still. I know some kids coming in this world with more of that than that. They just need more time. They just need more discipline. They don't need mama stuffing them off at daycare and not seeing them all day long. Amen. That's more good preaching, Brother Russell. All right, I got to quit that. Let's go. Sorry. Sorry. God is faithful to bring distress and then take away distress when it has produced fruit and practical righteousness in our life. Here we go, verse number 92. Verse number 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. Affliction shows us our absolute need for God's word in our life. You know what he said? He said, if that law hadn't have been my delight, if that hadn't have been what I looked forward to and I craved and I went to in this dark hour of despair, he said, I wouldn't have made it. He said, I wouldn't have made it. He said, I'd perished in my affliction. I'd died physically. I'd died spiritually. I might have both. Look here. You don't raise your hand, but is there anybody here this morning that says, I'm in a bad way. I'm in a bad way in my heart emotionally. I'm cast down. I feel like I'm about that close to giving up, losing my mind, or both. Let me tell you something. You had better find your delight in God's word and in God's promises. Or you'd be like this psalmist. Psalmist said, if I hadn't found that, I'd went off the deep end. You better get back to this book. A few more, just a few more. That was 92. Verse number 107. 107. Notice what he says. He says, I am afflicted very much. Anybody ever felt like they were afflicted very much? He says, quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Affliction will cause you to cry out to God. You know what he says? He's saying, God, I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me. Make me alive. Restore me. Give me life according to your word. You know, he cries out to God here in prayer. And sometimes, listen to me, church, sometimes that is the only thing to get you to praying again is affliction. You know why I think God sends affliction sometimes? Because he wants to hear from you. And since most of you's got everything you want, because most time the only time you pray is ask God for something. So if you got everything you want, and you're fat and sassy and happy and getting all your bills paid, you ain't even talking to him. And God says, that's my child. I want to hear from him. I want to hear from him. I want to hear from him. He don't hear from you. So he said, I bet you if I turn the screws a little bit, I bet you if I turn up the heat a little bit, I bet you if I put them in a little bit of fire, I bet I'll hear from them then. Some of you, the only time you can get in touch with God is when there's trouble in your life. What a spiritual tragedy. It's terrible. It really is terrible. He said, according to the word, verse number 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Do you see how through all this chat, listen, if you miss this today, you miss it all, how the comparison to the word of God and affliction, you combat affliction with the word of God, either by reading it, believing it, obeying it, trusting it, whatever. If you're afflicted here today, your solution is the word of God. Whether it's going to bring you to a point of repentance and then to a point of obedience, to a point of comfort, to a point of trust in God, to a point of resting your soul in the promises of God, whatever it is, you've got to get in this book to get help with your affliction. And then one more this morning, one more. Verse number 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. You know, affliction will help you remember God's words. You know what he said? He said, consider my affliction. He said, deliver me. And notice what he says there. I do not forget thy law. You know, when you go through affliction and you come out of it, there are some things you won't forget about what that Bible says. You'll remember those verses on deliverance. Cast all thy care upon him, for he careth for you. You'll remember that. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. You'll remember those verses. You'll remember the verses on sin too, because if you're suffering affliction because of your sin, and you'll remember the verses on suffering as a Christian, being patient, trusting God, letting that affliction you're in bring forth the peaceful fruit of righteousness, bearing fruit. People wear their little old bracelets. What would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? I want to be like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus, you've got to know the sufferings of Christ. You cannot, everybody look up here at me. You cannot be like Jesus without suffering. You cannot and will not be like Jesus without affliction. And because some of us are more hard-headed than others, it's just going to take more affliction. Unfortunately, that's the truth. In conclusion, afflictions, as you see, can truly be a blessing. Amen? I titled this thing right, The Blessings of Affliction. It's a blessing. You know what afflictions can do? They can cause you to get back in your Bible and back in your prayer closet. Afflictions can help you to repent and get right with God. Afflictions can help you to learn to trust God in the deepest, darkest time of your life. They can. But will they? Will your afflictions this morning be a blessing or a cursing? That is up to you and your response. Every head bowed and eye closed. Even right now, before she gets to that piano, if you need to come to this altar, would you please?